Today on Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the Old Testament book of Judges. But first, he's here to tell us about an upcoming important date. Pastor Jack?
Mike, that's right. With all that's happening around our world today and our nation today, we need to pray like never before. And with all that we're hearing in the news, we need to get on our face and seek God. There's something that we can do, by the way, regarding this. The Lord has not left us alone. We can pray. We can get on our face. And I am encouraging all pastors, all church leaders, all Christians across the United States to join us for the call to fall. It's going to be an amazing day. It's July 5th. It's truly a grassroots effort. But the call to fall is every believer in every church in America getting on their knees for 3 to 5 minutes in their Sunday service and asking God to heal our land. Come on, let's do that. We must do that. As believers, let's intercede for our country, for our churches, and for one another. We'll see you at Call to Fall, July 5th.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in the Old Testament book of Judges. We're taking a look at chapter 12, where there's a lot more bloodshed. And in fact, the word judge appears several times in this portion of Scripture. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a series called What's in a Name?
At this time, as we looked at the book of Judges, chapter 12, Israel was made up of tribes. You know that, 12 tribes. They were of tribal-type states based upon their genealogical standing, the tribes of Israel. Israel as a nation of people were existing as independent tribal-type states during the time of the Judges period. And they had all come together under one point. And you need to know this where we're going tonight, because there's a little civil war that kind of breaks out. What brought them together, the 12 tribes, was really one battle cry or call to unite. And that was around Yahweh God, the Lord God of the Bible. They gathered around the Lord. And the 12 tribes, often they would have continue to war against each other, and oftentimes they did, but there's one thing that brought them together, and that was the Lord. And in Deuteronomy 6, verse 4, the Bible says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." We worship one Lord. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." The title, or I should say, excuse me, the name Lord is Yahweh there in Deuteronomy 6, 4. And that word, that name, means the self-existing one, the eternal one. It is the name of God, the Lord God of Israel, the creator of heaven and earth, Yahweh. When someone asks you, what is the name of your God? You say, Yahweh of the Bible. That's his name. You can't say his name's God. God's not a name. Who is Israel's God? Yahweh. He is the Lord. It's very important that we know that. For the very title God, that word Elohim, you know this. It is an interesting word because Elohim, El is God, and the I am in the Hebrew is a plural. You say, I thought we believed in one God. Ah, we do believe in one God. But isn't it interesting that in his very title, his name is singular, Yahweh, the eternal one, always existing, but he is God. He reveals himself in plurality. What is that plurality? The Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, found in Old Testament to New. But his name is Yahweh. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." That is exact, perfect continuity with the rest of Scripture. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. God in singular, but yet plurality. For the Bible tells us that it was the Spirit of God that hovered or brooded over the waters at creation. Interesting, huh? The Bible says that God spoke forth his word and the worlds were created. But throughout the Old and New Testament, we read that Jesus Christ is none other than the engineer of creation, that all things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made or is made. Him. He holds it all together. Colossians 1, Hebrews chapter 1. Interesting. Not multiple gods, one God manifesting himself in three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Why is that important? Because that's the God of the Bible. Keep that in mind as we go through our study. It was this Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that manifested himself to all of mankind in the Bible for salvation. The Lord was all that connected these tribal kingdoms or states together during the time of Judges. And so if you remember in our previous study, Jephthah, do you remember him? The guy that was interesting character? He was used by God to bring about a great victory in chapter 11 of Judges. But not all victories, sad to say, people, not all victories are welcomed and appreciated and deserved as they ought to be. God used him mightily, but watch what happens again. Follow along with me, Judges chapter 12, now picking it up in verse 1. It says, then the men of Ephraim, can you circle Ephraim? These guys are trouble over and over again. Then, that's a time statement. Then what? After what? After chapter 11, this is what happened. The men of Ephraim gathered together, crossed over toward Zephon, and said to Jephthah, and they said this in numerous chapters of this book of the Bible before, and here they go again. Why did you cross over to fight against the people of Ammon? Why did you not call us to go with you? We will burn your house down on you with fire. These are his brothers, so to speak, in that unification around the God of Israel. But these Ephraimites, you guys, back in chapter 8, they had said the same thing. Every time there was a battle wrought, maybe with Gideon or whoever else, Jephthah in this case, God calls them to go fight or to defend their nation, and Ephraim sits it out. And they're interesting. They see how the battle's going to go, and then they see that their brethren win. So what do you think they do? Hey, how come you didn't ask us to fight with you guys? They only invite themselves after the battle's been won. You ever know people like that? Hey, you should have called me. I would have helped you. Oh, yeah? If you get your nose beat in, they never offer such things like that. Well, it's too bad for you. But no, if it's victorious, hey, how come you didn't give me a call? This is exactly how Ephraim is. Hey, you should have called us. And because you didn't, we don't get to share in the glory. We're not getting any spotlights on us. We're going to burn your house down with fire and you in it. What a bunch of hotheads, huh? These guys are exciting guys. So we have here now developing an internal strife between Ephraim and Jephthah's group and Gilead. There's going to be strife. Verse 4. Now Jephthah gathered together all the men of Gilead and fought against Ephraim. So this is a pretty heated thing. And the men of Gilead defeated Ephraim because, listen, they said, you Gileadites are fugitives. That doesn't sound bad to us, but it's an insult. You guys don't belong anywhere. You're a nothing. You're a bunch of nobodies. They insult them. You guys are a bunch of nobodies of Ephraim, among the Ephraimites and among the Manassites. So, as you read on in verse 5, these guys, they seize the fords. That's not a car. That's the marshy places. They began to set up an ambush and a place of victory. There's a war going on, and there's this division. Now, watch this. Jephthah's team, they win. So, the Ephraimites should have kept their mouths shut. They got a whipping. And apparently, you guys, and I don't want to belabor this, but remember, these are all the guys saying, you should have signed us up for the war after the fact. Now they've got a war. Okay, so Jephthah's basically, you guys want to fight? You did it to Gideon a couple of chapters ago. You're doing it to me now? You guys want to get involved? All right, we'll take you on. We're going to take you out to the woodshed. And they take him out to the woodshed, so to speak, and what happens? Does Jephthah's team lose? No. the Ephraimites lose. Apparently, they're not very good at this stuff. So no wonder why they stay out of the battle. But I want you to see what happens here. And it gets kind of interesting. And I think we can relate to this. Once the battle was over, the Ephraimites were defeated. So now that they were defeated, they want to cross back and go back home because they've been whipped. Watch what happens. At the latter end of verse 5, when the Ephraimites escape back to their homeland, they would say, "Let us cross over," or "Let me cross over." And Jephthah's men would say to them, "Are you an Ephraimite?" Well, watch what they would say. Latter end, just at the end of their verse 5. If they would say no, then they would say to him, "Then say Sibosheth." Say this word then. And he would say Chibotheth. They couldn't pronounce it. Their dialects didn't allow that to happen. You ever hear that? You've seen that happen before, right? This is kind of funny. We can really relate to this. So they couldn't pronounce the sh sound, only the chib. So these guys would watch, "Are you an Ephraimite then? You want to cross over the border and go back to where you came from?" "Oh, no, 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 we're not one of those guys." "Then say this Shibotheth word." And they would say chib, chib. And when they would say it, it would give them away. You know, what's interesting about this, some of you who know some history in Israel, they do this still to this day. In fact, in that part of the world, the dialects are so broken up, it's an issue. Those of you who I know are from Germany, for example, there's regions when Germans listen to other Germans speak, they'll say, "Oh, so what part of the north are you from? What part of the west are you from?" Don't we do that in America? "Y'all," or those kinds of things. Marty Goetz this weekend would say, even though he's Jewish from Cleveland, he lives just outside of Nashville now, and he would say, "Y'all." You say, "Well, this guy, he's hailing from the south." And up in the north, you ever meet somebody from Boston? They go and they have coffee in the Jersey or the New York. It's the exact same thing. So some guy's walking back, trying to tiptoe back, looking like he was just Jephthah's friend and everybody else and doing fine, but he's an Ephraimite. And so they would stop and ask him, "Before you cross over here at the border crossing, say this." He couldn't say it. He was now an enemy. Couldn't say the word. Let me read to you what this one scholar had to write about this issue. And I won't bore you too much with it, but it is very interesting. He says here that the pronunciation of these consonants varied based upon the Semitic tribes in the areas in which they lived throughout the Near East. In these variations, the Hebrew consonants often changed or varied among those in the areas of which they were brought up, so that it was very easily distinguishable from where someone hailed from. So when the question was asked, unable to pronounce the sh sound, they gave themselves away. Verse 8, after him, and then now there's a long list of names. Ibzan of Bethlehem judged Israel. He had 30 sons, and it goes down to chronology, 30 daughters. Speaking about these judges, they don't accomplish much. Don't want to spend too much time here because I want to look at something specific here. Others judging Israel, down verse 11, names listed that we could look up later, but not according to our text tonight. Why? This is very, very important. As you come through these verses, these judges listed here never had or didn't contribute much to the judgment of Israel. This is before the kings of Israel, the judges. And so these men are listed, not much happened. The point that I want to make tonight, that life or death, if you look here, if you could not pronounce the name properly, It exposed the fact that you were not with the winning team, or you were not following what God had said to do. The Lord told Jephthah, this is what you're to do. You are to lead the nation to victory and call your brethren together. And the Ephraimites sat it out, revealed by the fact that they, being guilty, were found out by not being able to pronounce the words. What's interesting about that tonight for us as believers, these guys who could not say the words, they were put to death. They were killed. You say, well, that's extreme. I didn't write the book. That was the issue. They were enemies. They were traitors. And Jephthah put them to death because they couldn't say the word. Is it just because of that? It's more than that. They couldn't say the word, true, but it revealed what was in their heart. Amen. It wasn't that the fact they couldn't say the word, it was in their heart. What was in their heart, or what was not in their heart? Their desire to follow the Lord. They did not want to obey the Lord. The tribe of Ephraim was repeatedly arrogant and often rebellious about what God wanted to do. Now, to draw a parallel to this, keep it in mind. How do you pronounce certain words? Some people have an amazing, you ever watch news anchors or news people or whatever, they can say the words, it's like, how do you say that? They're just gifted at it. I have a hard time saying certain words, the whatever it is. And I don't know how eloquent you are like that, but people have it and some people don't have it, and you can read this crazy name and you can say it just perfectly fine. That's great. I can't. But how do you pronounce Jesus? You say, well, like you do, Jesus. That's not what I mean. How do you really pronounce Jesus? What's in a name? If these guys were judged because they couldn't pronounce this word, which simply means a flowing river, it could also mean an ear of corn. Interesting word, huh? But it was a word that they knew would be found out in the heart through the tongue. It was the code word. But think about this, Jesus. Can you pronounce Jesus? Well, absolutely. But that's not exactly what I'm saying. How does your heart pronounce Jesus? Very important tonight. How do we make this chapter apply to our hearts this evening, all based upon what they can or cannot say? The question is, how do you pronounce Jesus? Who, what Jesus are you believing in? If you know how to say it right, the name, it will save you. If you cannot define that name, then you've missed the salvation of that name. This is all critical. A few things I want you to write down. A lot of things. I mean, you need to write these down. How do you pronounce or answer to the name Jesus? First of all, who is Jesus? And you say, well, Jack, this is ridiculous. I came in on Wednesday night to have you ask me that question. But you know what? Now, like never before, people don't know who Jesus really is. And I mean this. I'm not joking. You ask people who Jesus is, and they'll say, well, you know, he's the figure in the Bible. You've got to get definitions now from people who Jesus really is. Who is he? The Jesus of the cults is a completely different Jesus of the Bible. In fact, the Jesus that Islam believes in is a completely different Jesus than what you and I believe in. We heard it in the conference this week about the God that we believe in. We heard J. Smith say, as people will say, well, we believe in the same God, when he was getting us to think. We do not believe in the same God. And the Bible warns us that in the last days, there's going to be other doctrines and other Jesus around. Did you know that? So when we talk about Jesus, who is and how do you pronounce that Jesus in your life? For many of us, this is so basic, we don't need to go over it. But you realize that this is the threat, this is the issue today. Look, it's being brought up in the political issue right now. And they're talking about, does this faith believe in the same as the other faith? And all these things. Well, where is the answer, Jack? What judges us ultimately? Is it what this pastor says, or what this priest says, or what this imam says or what this bishop's, no. What judges us is the Bible and the definition of who Jesus Christ is. Amen. That's the issue. And I know that you and I would just like to say, well, it's much more comfortable just to say that we all believe in the same God or it's the same Jesus. It's not. And I know that is disruptive to some people, but church, listen, mark these verses down. Get your pen ready. I think it'll help. Who is Jesus? Titus 2:13 says that he is our great God and Savior. So the question is the Jesus of the Bible, is the Jesus of your life, the Jesus who is our great God and Savior? Tonight, can you say, can you pronounce that Jesus is your great God and Savior? That's the issue. If you say, well, I think he's one of many enlightened ones, then you are not considering or believing in the Jesus of the Bible. When we say Jesus Christ, you guys have said, seen the fish. You know the ichthys, the fish that's on bumper stickers and rings and jewelry, the fish? Sometimes in the middle are the first letters of the Greek words that the ancients, our brothers and sisters 2,000 years ago, that they used to write in code. They would draw with their feet because they didn't know if they were talking to somebody who would kill them for being a Christian or if they were a brother. And they would literally be perhaps on a Roman avenue or a piazza somewhere, and they'd be talking to someone, and they're wondering, is this guy a Christian? Is he a believer? Because you couldn't say it back then. It'd cost you your life. And you would be talking about the price of, you know, pomegranates or whatever, and you would take your foot and you would carve an arc opposite. Are you with me? Two guys talking face to face. I go like this. Well, he's over here, so he goes like this. When you strike the arc this way and the guy that you're talking to strikes the arc the other way, you have that fish that's on the back of your car or on your neck. I mean, your necklace, not your neck. And then, but it could be, maybe it was just a ploy, or maybe he's deceiving me, I'm not sure. And this was secret code in the first century church. Did you know this? You would go, I. Inside that fish, you would put the alphabet I. And then he would go, I, X, O, Y, E. You would alternate that back and forth. Why is that? Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior in the Greek. First alphabet of the words.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called What's in a Name? It's a look at the 12th chapter of the Old Testament book of Judges, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. We've also been telling you about Pastor Jack teaching a series currently called Life and the Bible. It's actually a collection on DVD of presentations taken from many parts of Scripture that offer us practical wisdom on not just doctrine, but how to live and deal with real-world life situations. You've heard us talk about being a Christian at your job, being a Christian while being a man, being a Christian while being a woman, and so forth. Well, now, being a Christian while being a husband, part of the DVD series called Life and the Bible. Now, for a gift of any amount in support of Real Radio, we'll send you Pastor Jack's message on DVD called Being a Christian While Being a Husband. Ask for it by title when you get in touch. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. You can also send in your contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And finally, all of our contact information can always be located at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. And while you're there, remember to check out the Call to Fall event. Just click on it right there on the front page, Call to Fall. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.